Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. Mairead Lavery from the Farmers Journal joins us once again. Good afternoon, Mairead.
Good afternoon.
And I suppose, yes, we haven't mentioned the leave and search yet.
How did you manage to get
hope it went okay for everybody? Well, there's no leave and search in my house this year, so I just drum it out when it's not happening.
With the niece, my crew at least are finished, but with the nieces and nephews, we have a leaving or an intercert or a junior cert. That'll tell you how old I am. I still remember the intercert. But we have a leaving or a junior cert, I think, for the next 9 years. So there's always someone in the family going to be fretting, and ag science is one of the subjects at the leaving cert, and you know, it nearly died a death a couple of years back. The curriculum was ancient, and you know, hadn't been kind of changed since 1966, and then there was a rule that if you were doing biology, you couldn't also then do, well, you could do ag science, but you got no credit for it if you wanted to put it on your CAO form or use it for your points for college. So it nearly died a death, and there was talks of it going to be kind of, you know, shared out among, say, geography. You'd have all the geology end of it, and then physics and chemistry would take sections of it. So, you know, the subject itself wouldn't exist. Mm. But then someone got the bright idea in the Department of Education to leave it as a standalone subject, to allow it go in for to be used as points, even if you were doing biology. And the numbers have risen very dramatically, from like in the low hundreds to, I think, 6,543 took the higher level paper this time round. So it's actually after beating physics in terms of the numbers, and it's nearly up with chemistry now. So at the rate it's growing, every year it's a subject that's growing. And there's a problem with that as well. But it's at the rate it's growing, it should be able to overtake chemistry, possibly as the second highest science subject.
Crikey.
Yeah, but anyway, but there is a feeling that isn't ag science dead simple? And you're only out there talking about a few cows and a little bit of sheep and whatever it is. And, you know, it's as simple as I make it here on the radio. It's anything but. It's a rotten tough subject to get good grades in, particularly if you maybe don't necessarily know too much about the practical end of farming. It's one of the few exams where you've got a practical end. You know, you have to do project work, you have to do an exam, and you have to do an oral.
Now, do you? Yeah, why do you have to do an oral?
Well, they do a random group of orals. It's not everybody has to do an oral. You know, random people from each class are picked out to do an oral. So it's to understand if you're, can you talk about agriculture? It's a bit like, you know, being able to write Irish, but can you say three sentences and put them together correctly? So it's testing knowledge. I remember my son, he got called to do an interview in Ag Science, or to do the interview with the inspector. And one of the things he got was blowfly strike. Now, that is something that not an awful lot of people would know about, but he happened to be reared in a sheep farm, so he knew exactly what it was. But anyway, at the minute, the H1, this H1 to 5, I think it's this whole new system of judging. Ag Science, the second lowest level of youngsters collecting that H1 to H5, 71%. Given that most of them, over half of the subjects, you know, over 80% of the kids sitting the exam are actually getting those kind of grades. So it's a tough subject to get, you know, that kind of the equivalent of the C, B and A in. Just over 70% in comparison to maybe well into the 80s for other subjects. So it's not... If you're thinking of doing it, a lot of people recommend it. You know, they're going to the grind schools if they're repeating the leaving cert, and they're recommended, you know, it's a short course, we'll get it done. You know, it'll only take a few weeks to cover it and all the rest. But it doesn't necessarily translate into high points.
Well, the way people, you know, some subjects would be, you know, regarded as, you know, an easy enough pass. Yeah, you'd do it for points. Yeah. But you wouldn't do ag science for that at all.
No, not really. Not unless you kind of have a working knowledge of the thing. It is a tough subject, and people want to be aware of it before they sit down to do it. Now, saying that, biology, there's over 26,000 doing biology, so there's no fear of it ever catching up there. Yeah. But I mean, for you know, if you're going, I remember once talking to a bunch of kids and who were doing ag science. Actually, they were out in Alexandra College, and it was an unlikely kind of a place, but they actually have a great number of girls doing it in that school. And one of them said she wanted to do food nutrition, and she thought knowing a bit about ag science would really help her. Somebody else was interested in doing veterinary, and somebody else, their dad came from a farm in Galway, and they wanted to go down to be able to talk sensibly to their uncles about what it was like to be a farmer.
Right, okay.
So and to understand what the background that he'd come from. So, you know, there were all valid reasons for doing it.
You have to learn to talk farmer, which is a,
exactly.
You know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, you're well taught now and then.
Yeah. Right, so it's a big decline in the number of stray and unwanted dogs. I assume, is that good news or bad
news? Well, I think it has to be good because they're certainly not roaming around the countryside, you know. There's no big packs of marauding dogs. The numbers are down pretty dramatically according to the 70 dog wardens that walk right around the country. I think there's about 36 different pounds, and they're run by the local authorities. But back in 2005, you know, which is what, 10, 13 years ago, there were over 25,000 stray and unwanted dogs wound up in one of these places. And the figure now you're talking about, the figure for the last year, 11,500. So that's a dramatic, that's like it's halved, they're well over halved even. So, you know, that has to be a very good thing. In terms of dog licences, about 200,000 people pay a dog licence every year, in or around, you know, either side of the 200,000. And I think most of that money goes back into local authorities. But the one thing we're not doing, though, is we're not keeping tabs on the number of dog attacks on sheep flocks. We've no real idea there whether the numbers are going up or going down or what exactly is happening. So I think, you know, it might be a useful exercise for dog wardens and for farmers to kind of have some sort of a reporting system there so that we can keep an eye on what's happening with regard to sheep attacks on flocks of sheep. Mm-hmm. But at least, you know, it's a fantastic decrease in the number of stray and stray dogs, and it shows there's a lot more responsible ownership as well, because I mean the day of somebody putting a couple of dogs in the boot of the car and letting them out on the side of the road, you know, that wasn't too long ago wasn't too long ago, and it was common practice, but hopefully that's long gone.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't mean though that people, because you know there's more of a, you can be prosecuted for this now, and that people are doing other things rather than...
Yeah, well, perhaps, but yeah. I mean...
But there's no evidence of
that. There's no evidence of that, yeah. But the microchipping as well, I mean, you know, is that being monitored? You know, that's another question that you'd have to ask. The Department of Agriculture is in charge of that.
Yeah. Right, so you were down at the Tullamore Show, and it was all ducks and stuff.
Well, my favourite... The Tullamore Show was super this year, and congratulations to Breda and all her team down there, and the 650 volunteers and everybody else that was involved. It was an absolutely super show. And for me, the highlight was the poultry marquee. I just love it. And it's getting bigger and bigger every year. And you go in and all you can hear is all these cock-a-doodle-loos and ducks and quacking, and you know, it is so noisy and it's so kind of, I don't know, it just gets me every single time. But the place, and I think I said this last year as well, the place was full of young lads buying and selling chickens and of all sorts of descriptions. You should see them. They're the most fanciest looking things. And they're actually very reasonable. I was on Foul News. I think it's more foul. it's a website devoted to queries about poultry in Ireland, or a lot of it is in Ireland anyway. And it got me thinking about, you know, clucking hens. Now, there's two words here. There's clucking hens and a clutch of chickens, and it's nothing to do with cars. And you just think of clocking your mileage and, you know, overplaying the clutch. Mm. But the youngsters there now didn't want clucking hens because that was, you know, too much trouble. You know, they either just wanted the eggs, or, you know, they wouldn't be able to make sure that they were bred, purebreds. But it takes about 21 days to hatch out eggs. And the way you know if you've got a bunch of hens at home, or if you're thinking of getting hens, the clucking hen is the one who doesn't get out of the nest. And she'll take the hand off you if you try to take her out of the nest. You could put golf balls underneath her or stones, and she'd sit there for 21 days. and then the broodiness goes off of her. So clocking, if you're talking about a clocking hen, it's a hen that's broody and wants to turn these eggs into chicks. And, you know, whether the eggs are fertilised or not, whether they're false eggs, whatever they are, she'll still sit there for 21 days. Now, when she, if you give her eggs to do it, she will hatch anything. I think I told you this a few years ago. I had a clock when we had a clocking hen at home. I didn't have it, but my mother got me pea eggs, peacock, pea eggs, peafowl eggs, not peacock eggs, pea hen eggs. And the hen, you know, sat on them for whatever long it took and reared a lovely peacock, Peter. And but the following year, she decided she was going to hatch out a clutch of duckling eggs.
Mm.
And of course, when the ducklings came out and started to follow her around the yard, there was a little stream down at the end of it. And the ducks all merrily hopped into the stream. And Mother Hen couldn't and wouldn't and screamed like mad.
Yeah.
And neither would Peter the Peacock, because that wasn't on. You know, you didn't get into the water. And the ducks were all merrily running down the stream.
Isn't it amazing they knew?
Yeah.
To get into the water, even though the mammy didn't do it.
They knew exactly where to go. They would make a run for it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a good clocking hen will actually is great if you're into kind of hatching out chicks and hatching out kind of fancy breeds and stuff like that. But that particular hen, you know, she when you have baby chicks, you know, a hen could hatch out maybe 10 or 12 chicks, no problem. And if you ever see them around old farmyards in particular, the hen is kind of in the lead and all the chicks are in a line behind her.
Mm.
Now, so the last one decides to kind of pick a bit grass a bit too long or kind of goes over on its back or does something stupid. And Mammy's gone on with the other nine and she doesn't even notice the one that's missing. And right up to when she's lost her last chick, she won't even look back to see, are they all still there? I mean,
well, they're not great mothers then. There's a flaw there.
No, no, they can't count.
Right, okay. Well, no one's perfect,
yeah,
I suppose.
As long as they have some chick there, a chick there, they have their chicks there.
Yeah.
But you can hear these, when we were growing up, when we were kids at home, you'd have a couple of these hens with chicks and you'd be forever listening out for the beep, 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 the little squeep of the little baby chick calling its mam, and mam gone off like 200 yards away and totally oblivious that she has abandoned a child, you know, back in the middle of the yard somewhere to be picked up by a crow or to be picked up by, you know, some sort of a, you know, something that would scavenge it, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, certainly it's really in vogue at the moment with kids on farms, this whole idea of rearing poultry.
Right.
And
now,
they're doing a good job.
I suppose most importantly now, in your neck of the woods, are people prepared to do pretty much anything to get it? Ticket.
Well, they seem to be all right.
Limerick, for the All-Ireland hurling final.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All-Ireland hurling, Limerick starvation, 1973, couple of runs at it, didn't make get the silverware. But anyway, they are looking for tickets like mad. And there's a dairy farmer. I'm not sure if he's a dairy farmer, but he's a Limerick supporter and he's a farmer. And he's Philip Cagney is his name. And what he's offering on Twitter at the moment for a pair of All-Ireland tickets, he's three ICB water tanks and they're worth €65 each. Now, I think, bear in mind, what's the face value of an All-Ireland ticket? 80, €90, something like that. Anyway, he's three water tanks, that's €65 each. He's a bale of silage. Depending on where you are in the country now, that could be worth a hell of a lot of money.
Mm.
You know, €40 maybe. He's got a February 2019 heifer calf as well. Now, again, the lads in the office said to me when I said, how much is that worth? Well, it says, now it depends if it's an Angus, it's worth this. if it's a Charlie, she's worth this. And, you know, if she's this, that and the other. And honest to God, I could get no more guidance out of him than somewhere between €200 and €300 anyway.
Right, okay. Well, that's not bad then. Yeah. Even if it's rubbish, like the whole thing.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that that's a very good exchange.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, now, so anyway, that's it. Philip Cagney, he's on Twitter and he's mad to get his hands on two All-Ireland tickets.
That seems to be a thing though, because was there a place in Sligo that was given free breakfast for life or something?
You'd want to be living up in Sligo to get that.
Yeah.
But no.
Well, presumably as well, you'd have to travel down to Limerick, or how would you transport all these goodies?
They can organise that. I mean, that's not a big problem. Getting the tickets is the problem. I mean, they are. I know, you know, I have a brother-in-law and sister and they're mad into the Gaa and they're looking for tickets. They've got I think, 2 and they're looking for 5. Now, whoa. I mean, that's a bit rich, I suppose. Yeah. But anyway, the tickets are absolutely going like hotcakes.
Okay, and all to see Limerick lose. God, that man's really
committed. I know, Do you know what? Do you know what's on now next week on the telly, I think, isn't it? The Rose of Lee is starting next week.
Oh, is it?
It always nearly singles the end of summer. But the number of young fellas from farms who are escorts...
Mm.
There's 54, would you believe, 57 escorts for the Rose of Tralee. Now, they obviously get tired and they need to go in shifts, unlike the Roses.
That's an interesting phrase to use.
Well, of course, there's the prelims now, isn't there? And then there's the final. So there's a whole load of them.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but 13 of them are actually farmers. So it is now the absolute thing for a young farmer to become an escort at the Rose of Tralee. It's a real badge of honour.
Right. So look,
I could get none of them. A couple of them approached me to write a bit in the journal about their experience. And unless they were going to give it, you know, the full whack, I wasn't interested. So they were all gentlemen. They weren't prepared to do that.
Ah, yeah, you don't want that. Mairead, thanks a million for coming into us. Mairead Lavery from the Farmer's Journal there. Back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card, offering Ireland's first personalised lending rates.